Jesus had a lot to say about the principle of seeds, because God uses the principle of seeds in nature to teach us something about how to live life in a way that blesses others and affects not only those around us now and ourselves now for our benefit, but for future generations. And so as we've been thinking over these last few weeks about what it means to live generously, as we kind of wrap this series up today, but hopefully not wrap it up to finalization, but kind of wrap it up to launch us into future living, I want us to think about what we've learned about what it means to live generously. And as we think about that, again, it's more than just our material possessions. There's three main areas of our life that we can live generously. And number one, be generous with your time. We're all given the same amount of time, 24 hours in a day. It's just how we use it. And so it's important for us to take care of our responsibilities and our family, absolutely. But if we only keep our focus there, we're missing some wonderful opportunities to be generous with our time, to honor God, and to help other people. So how are you, in your generosity with your time, taking time to listen to someone who simply needs to talk and to know that someone cares? How are you with giving of your time to perhaps advise and encourage them when they need it? And then, of course, there's the other area of our life, the abilities, the talents, the things that we are gifted in that help us through life. And each of us have different gifts and abilities. How are we being generous with that? Are you using the talents and the abilities and the gifts and your experience and everything that God has put within your life? Are you using that only for yourself and for maybe your family? There's nothing wrong with that. But where it becomes wrong is when that's the end of it. Are you being generous with your abilities and your talents to help others in the church for the work of the Lord, for God's glory in the world? So we need to be generous with the way that we use our abilities and our knowledge and our gifts. And that's why we're so grateful for those who volunteer in many different ways here in the life of the church. We are all blessed because of the way that others give of their talents and abilities. We've seen that this morning, and we see it every week musically, but we see it administratively, we see it with the facilities, we see it with the many different ministries. It's because people are learning to be generous with their time, but also with their talents and their abilities. And then, of course, the obvious one is to be generous with our material possessions, our finances, and our giving. But I want to make sure that we're not missing out on the other aspects of what it means to live generously. So this morning, some very basic principles of seed that I want to remind you of. And there's probably nothing you're going to hear this morning that will be like a new revelation. It's stuff that you already know, or intuitively you sense it inside, though you may not think about it. But it's important for us to remember. So some of these are obvious, and the number one principle of seed is what is sown will be reaped. Oh, what a revelation, right? So just follow along with me, help me out, because there is a purpose in this. If you were to plant an apple seed in the ground, this is audience participation now, if you were to plant an apple seed in the ground, what would you get? Thank you. Not a trick question. If you were to plant a corn seed in the ground, what would you get? A corn stalk, corn. A seed of wheat will produce orange seeds, will produce pumpkin seeds, will produce, again, you're setting so obvious. So then why is it, if we know that, why is it that we don't always sow the right things and yet expect to get something good in return? If you sow hatred, what will you get? If you sow unforgiveness, what will you get? If you sow selfishness, what will you get? You see where I'm going. It's so obvious, it's so simple, and yet many times we live our lives and we become so closed in with our problems and the things that we're going through, and we're planting discontent and negativity and all these things. That's the seed we're sowing, and then somehow we think we're going to get good in return. So the number one principle we need to understand is you will reap what you sow. What is sown is what you will get in return, as a general rule. And the scripture warns us of this. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, it says this: do not be deceived. Don't fool yourself into somehow thinking there's going to be a different outcome here. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man, or literally a woman, a person, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, from the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, he will reap eternal life. And then he says this in verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes this: let us not become weary in what? In doing good. You see, this generous aspect of our life is about doing good in the world for God's glory, making a difference for good. That's what he created you and I to do and to be. And yet so often, because of our fallen, sinful human nature, we so easily are drawn in to other behaviors and other activities. So we need to be reminded of this. And the Apostle Paul says, God wants us to understand, don't get weary in doing good. Now look at what he says next: for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not what? Don't give up. Because it's so easy, because all this happens in God's time. There's one principle of the seed that I don't have on the screen, and one area pastor here actually coined this phrase, and I really like it. It's Pastor Hastings from Pioneer Presbyterian. We're part of a ministerial fellowship, and he coined this phrase, and I really like it. He calls it the speed of seed. Now, the speed of seed, you know, what? We want stuff to happen now, right? But the speed of seed is slow, and it's a process. And so we need to not grow weary in doing good. Even if we're not getting the immediate results we want, don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep trusting the speed of seed. Trust the one who is causing the process to happen in your life. And again, the promise is, if you don't walk away, give up, get weary, you will reap a harvest. God has taught us this in nature. And then we're encouraged in verse 10 here of Galatians 6, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity. Oh, there's that word again. We've heard that a little bit this year. The very first sermon this year, the Lord laid on my heart, this will be a year of opportunity. Now, I know every year is a year of opportunity, but that's what I felt the Lord was laying on my heart for us as a church this year. And we've certainly seen a lot of opportunities. We've seen the Upward Sports program get started. God has brought us through a lot of challenges and difficulties, and praise God, we've seen a fulfillment of that dream. We're reaping a harvest now, because of what has been planted, literally, with grass on that field out there and everything. It took a process, and we had to go through challenges and difficulties and disagreements. But there's a harvest that is beginning to be reaped, and I believe it will continue. So as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. You see, as followers of Christ, we're not supposed to only take care of ourselves, but we are to look out for those who are not yet believers and to do good to all people, because through that, God may use that seed of your generosity, your giving of your time, your abilities, your talents, your skills to help someone in need. They see the love of Christ in you, and if you are telling them that you are doing it because you care about them, but also to let them know that God has put that love in your heart and God loves and cares about them, God will use that to speak to them as a testimony and a witness. And perhaps they would be drawn to trust in Christ. So therefore, as we have opportunity, it says in verse 10, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So as followers of Christ, we absolutely should look out for one another. We need to support one another here at the church with our attendance, but also with our prayers, with our encouragement, being part of a life group or a ministry team or a Sunday school class, or just look for ways, opportunities that you have to enrich your relationships with others, because we need to be generous with our time, our talents, and yes, our treasure. And so, especially for the family of believers, but beyond just the family of believers, to all people. Jesus teaches this. These are his words recorded by Luke. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." Now, me being an analytical thinker, I look at that and I'm like, and not that I'm questioning Jesus' words, that's not it, but I just question, am I rightly understanding? Because hold on a minute, I've seen some good apple trees that most of the fruit on it's good apples, but I've seen some apples come off there that had some worms and, you know, some stuff that wasn't so good. So what's this mean? Well, it doesn't mean that every fruit that comes off of a good tree is perfect. What this really means is, and as I did a word study on that word good, no good tree, literally in the original language, that word good could not only mean good, like we translate into English, but it can also mean useful. No useful tree bears unuseful fruit or bad fruit. And you say, well, now wait a second, Mark. What? An apple tree will not bear crab apples. Now, a crab apple tree will bear crab apples, but an apple tree produces useful fruit. And neither can an unuseful plant bear some type of fruit that's useful. You say, Mark, how do you get that? Well, let's just see the rest of what Jesus says, and it'll now make perfect sense to you. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree or unuseful tree bear useful fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit, talking about the kind of tree it is. And now he clarifies it right here. It is, people do not pick figs, a useful thing, from thorn bushes, an unuseful thing. You tracking with me? Does it make sense? People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. So if we want to begin to sow generously into the world and rightly use our time, our talents, our treasure, we first of all need to give ourselves over to Christ and allow him to begin to make that change in our life so that we can bear useful fruit in the world, spiritual, productive things in the world. Principle number two, reaping is proportionate to sowing. Now, we reap in proportion to what we sow. Here again, being analytical, I would say, now wait a second, I know farmers that have planted crops and it was a bad year and they didn't get very much in return. So how can you say that sowing or reaping is in proportion to sowing? Well, think of it this way. If the farmer had never sowed any seed at all or planted it, what would they get? Nothing. So it's proportionate. If you don't sow any seed, you're not going to get anything in return. It is going to be risky. When you sow that seed, you may not get as much as you had hoped, but you might get a lot more than you hoped. It is proportionate. And so the more seed you sow, the more you're increasing the odds and the percentages that there's going to be more good that's going to come out of that you are sowing. Now, let's look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul is writing here to a group of believers who had promised to help another church, the original church that started in Jerusalem. They were struggling, going through a difficult time financially. They had needs. And I'm not talking about that they couldn't afford to pay their water bill. I'm talking about in that culture, in that day, because of persecution and everything, some of the believers in the Jerusalem church, they had trouble getting work. They didn't have clothing or food they needed. So the other churches that had benefited from the gospel message going out from there were saying, we need to help the believers back in Jerusalem and support them. So they had said they were going to take up an offering. And so they had begun doing that, but Paul was writing to this group of believers in the city of Corinth to remind them to be generous and to follow through with what they said they were going to do. So even though this was for a specific thing that was happening at that time in the culture, again, the principle absolutely is timeless for any generation, any cultural group, any ethnic group, this is a principle of nature, principle of the seed. So here's what he writes. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, because again, it's proportionate. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man, each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's interesting because anytime a pastor speaks on giving or generosity or money, there's always that tension of somebody thinking, oh, yeah, I come to church, and that's all they talk about is money. Money, 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 money. Well, if you're thinking that, I say this in love, but you got a really bad attitude. Lighten up. Lighten up. This is not about a guilt trip. The last thing I want to do is make anybody feel guilty and make you feel compelled. You will give because I'm going to guilt you into it. That doesn't honor God. It doesn't make you feel good, and it doesn't make us feel good. It accomplishes nothing. This is about listening to a truth in nature that if it touches your soul and your heart and it resonates, you say, wow, I want to give. I'm inspired to give. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. So he's saying, I don't want you to give reluctantly or under compulsion, feel like you have to, because God wants you to truly just give out of a thankful heart, a generous heart, because of all that he's done for you. And if you feel like maybe God hasn't done that much for you, then I would just encourage you and challenge you to be open to see the things that God is doing in your life that maybe you're not giving him credit for. I mean, the fact that maybe you're still drawing a breath is the fact that he's being generous to you. He's given you another day of life. He's given you another chance. He's got things that he's wanting you to learn and grow in. He is far more generous and compassionate than we can even think or imagine. And then it says this in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good what? There it is again, good work. God wants you to be generous with your life. Make a difference for good in the world, for yourself, for your family, but beyond that, to help others. Principle number 3, the continuous cycle of seeds. We see in nature, there's this continual sacrificial life and death thing that happens with seeds. The seeds are planted in the ground, and then they, so to speak, die in one sense in the form that they were in, but then they take on new life and they give life, and the plant grows, and then it produces fruit of whatever kind it is, and then that in turn has seed in it that falls to the ground or is planted, and so to speak, it dies, but then the next round of harvest crops, everything comes up, and the cycle goes on and on. So it is in our lives as human beings. We need to learn to live generously and sacrificially. Sometimes we have to die to self to help see others progress and move forward. And certainly from generation to generation, we see that. Right now in the life of the church, I'm so thankful at Porterfield that we have multiple generations here, that we see some of the young plants, so to speak, the kids and the teens and the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings, and we could go all the way up the chain of the ages. But those of us who are aging, we want to be able to pass this legacy on, so for the next generation that is coming. And so I encourage you, no matter what age you are, look for ways to get involved. We want you to, you are part of the church. We want you to serve as part of the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 and 11, the Apostle Paul, continuing to talk about this principle of giving, says, as it is written, he has scattered abroad the gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, pay attention to this, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's a lot of stuff there. What's that all mean? So verse 10, talking about God. God is the one who supplies our basic needs. Now he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Let's just stop there. Think about the illustration of a grain of wheat. Even though it's not mentioned here, that's kind of the basic illustration that I believe Paul was talking about. So we know that wheat seed produces wheat plants, and then they in turn produce more seed, those buds of grain. Now we can take that wheat seed, that wheat grain, and we can do two things with it. We can take the wheat, the mature wheat that has the seed in it, and we can crush the seeds up, and then we can mix it with some other material, water and whatnot, and we can make bread, right? So we have an option. We can take the seed that we have and we can eat it, and it will keep us healthy. But if we eat all the seed, then there's nothing left to plant. The other thing that we can do with the seed is when it grows, we can crush it up and eat it and consume it, or we can take it and we can plant it in the ground and it will produce more seed, more wheat, more plant, more grain. So here's the balance in life. Don't eat all your seed. Don't be selfish with everything you've got and say, oh, me, I got to have more, more, more. Because when you do that, there's nothing left over to sow into the next generation or to other people. What God wants us to do, yes, eat some of the seed, so to speak, your bread. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. But if we take some of that seed and we don't eat it all, but we're generous, and then we re-sow it out into the world for the blessing and the benefit of others as we enjoy some of it, now we're continuing the cycle. So he who supplies seed for the sower, bread for the food, will supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. We've all heard that saying, what goes around comes around, right? And we usually think of that in a negative connotation. But I want you to think of it in this way as a positive thing. When you are willing to be generous and to sow that seed, so to speak, of your time, your talents, your abilities, gifts, and your finances into the work of God's kingdom in the world and spreading the good news of Christ, and then also trying to help others in need. Now we are getting a positive thing, and God does promise us that if we will be faithful and trust him in this, he will continue to meet our needs. I'm going to show you some scriptures that say that, and again, for those of you that maybe getting nervous now. Oh no, is Mark one of these guys? If he's going to tell me this morning, if I put $100 in the offering plate, I'm going to get $1,000 in return. No, I'm not saying that. That's not, I believe, true teaching, because that's up to God. But I can tell you this principle of the seed is absolutely true, and the scripture is full of it from Old Testament to New Testament, that if you don't sow, you don't reap. But if you do sow, you can reap. And so there is some promises from God that as we trust him and we learn to live generously, we will be blessed. So that what goes around comes around, think of it in a positive way, that what I do for the Lord with the right motive and the right reason, he's going to bring it back. He's going to bless me. He's going to take care of me because I want to honor him with my life. So the example is agricultural cycle. So just think about that for a moment. In the agricultural cycle, since we've been talking about the principle of the seed, when you plant the seed, then it begins to develop and grow, and then it's harvested, and then what we do with that harvest, we take some of the seed, yeah, we eat the fruit, but we take some of the seed and we plant it again, and that cycle continues. There's other cycles in nature. I don't have a slide for it, but think about the water cycle. Okay, we know that water on the earth, it evaporates, and it goes up into the air, and then it condensates in the clouds. And then when it condensates to a point, then it precipitates. And then when it hits the ground, it runs off and goes down to the lowest level. That's runoff, and it gathers in oceans and ponds and wherever. And then guess what happens with that water? It evaporates, and it condensates, and it precipitates, and it runs off. And it evaporates, and it condensates, and it precipitates, and it goes on and on. It's a cycle in nature. And God says, if you'll be generous, just trust the process. It may not come when you think. Trust the process. What goes around comes around. If you will be generous, I'm going to take care of you. So here quickly now, some passages of scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, not your leftovers, but with the first of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. It's a promise God's saying, if you'll honor me, I want to make sure your needs are met. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. The only time I see in the scriptures where God invites us to test him in something is in this area. He says, give it a try. Step out in faith and see if I won't reward that faith. I'm going to take care of you. In fact, he says here, this was to the Israelite people because they had neglected to bring their tithes in, and so they were suffering a lot of different heartaches and difficulties. And God said, hey, if you'll just trust me with what I've told you to do, just wait and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. And I'll not only just help you have what you need, I'm going to pour out blessings on you. John D. Rockefeller, very wealthy person. He said this, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. Now stop and think about that. John D. Rockefeller, wealthy man. You know, a lot of people want to always rag on the rich and all this, and yeah, they're just all whatever. John D. Rockefeller went that way. From the time he got his first job and he was only making $1.50 a week, He didn't say, well, that's not very much, and I got a lot I need to live on. So, no, he took that $1.50, and he tithed 10% of it. And then as God blessed him, I'm not saying we're all going to be blessed like John D. Rockefeller. I'm just using him as this illustration. Because he learned to do this, then as he got more and more wealthy, he didn't stop tithing. And God continued to bless him to where then he was able to give $1 million in tithe. I don't know who this is for, and I may step on some toes, and I don't know, but, you know, sometimes I've heard over my years in various places people say, boy, if I just win the lottery, boy, I'm going to give my money to the church. No, you wouldn't. If you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it when you win the lottery. John D. Rockefeller said, I tithe the million because I was given back when I only made $1.50 a week. You see, it's a principle. It's something you need to get in your life and your habit. And again, I'm saying this not to make anyone feel guilty, please. This is a principle, because if we will trust God in it and you learn to put that principle into work, you will be blessed by it. When my wife and I first got married, and I remember from the time I got my first job, not that I'm a perfect person, but that was one thing. I was thankful for the job, even though I didn't like the work I was doing at that time. Years ago at JCPenney, scraping the wax off the floors and making minimum wage, and I wouldn't even get into it. But I'm like, okay, God, I got some income. I'm going to honor you. Thank you for this job. And I tithed. And then when Julie and I, my wife and I, got married, we said, you know what? No matter how tough it gets, we're going to tithe. We're going to tithe. It's just we believe we want to honor God with our life. And there were times early in our marriage when things got really, really tough. And we had to make some decisions to not do some things or have some things, but we wanted to honor the Lord. And again, I'm saying this for no glory for myself. I'm trying to teach out of experience. I'm standing before you today to say, I do not regret one moment. I do not regret one moment of not tithing. Can I get an amen? Is there anybody else? I cannot, as one person said it, I can't afford not to tithe. Because I stand before you today to say, even through the difficulties and the hard times and the things that we did without, I've experienced the blessing of God and the hand of God and the provision of God. And sometimes it didn't come when I wanted it, and it didn't come in the form I wanted it, but God blesses in so many different ways. So I share that with you to hopefully inspire and encourage you to say, I know it's not easy. Begin to take those steps of faith wherever you're at. It's between you and God. So you pray, it's between you and God, and he'll impress on your spirit what he wants you to do. But all I can say is it's a principle that others in history and in life have done, and they're blessed by it. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. What goes around comes around. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, God, will pay back what he has given. One of the things that's an opportunity, Kim Wiseman and Kathy Parsons have been heading up the Latrobe Street meals that we do one evening a month, Porterfield provides meals for the homeless at the Latrobe Mission over in Parkersburg. We've been doing this for some time. Kim Gandy headed that up prior to them. I just want you to know that beginning in 2018, we would like for somebody, Kim is ready to let somebody else help with that ministry. So here's the thing, if you see this, he who has pity on the poor lends the Lord, he'll pay back what he's given. If that's something you'd be interested in heading up, just contact the church office. We'll talk to you about it. We'll get you in touch with Kim. There's plenty of time. You don't have to dive right in. There's a few months. But I do want to put that out there, that we're looking for someone who might be interested in heading up that ministry at Latrobe for 2018. Again, only providing a meal, just organizing people to prepare food, and then one evening a month, it's taken over and served to the people at Latrobe. Jesus taught this principle, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over would be poured into your lap. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Again, we reap in proportion to what we sow. So when we give, we're really blessed three times. We're blessed, number one, because we have something to give. And we're blessed a second time because when we give, we are a blessing to others and we're appreciated. But then we're blessed a third time because when we are faithful and we give and we bless others, God says, I'm going to keep supplying your need. Remember the passage you just saw in Corinthians, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will continue to supply that seed and your need. You've got to be willing to let go. Again, not just of finances, but of your time and your abilities. Generosity is an act of obedience. It's an act of faith. It's an act of love and gratitude. It's also an act of trust. Now, one of the things just before we close that I do want to mention, again, just being practical about this, in our culture today, there are many younger families and younger individuals that don't write checks, and maybe they don't carry a lot of cash on them. So one of the things that we want to do here at Porterfield is to make it easy for you to give rather than making it hard. So we have redesigned our website. For those of you, by the way, that aren't aware of this, this went live a few weeks ago. So our website is now more mobile device friendly. So on your phone, if you check out pbcexchange.com, www.pbcexchange.com, you'll find that it's much more friendlier to use now on your tablets, your phones, whatever. You can download our weekly news bulletin, which you get when you're handed in our exchange. But here's another thing on the website that we just started doing, and I want to make you aware of it. We now have online giving. We're literally with your phone, your mobile device. So if you come here in the worship service and the plate's being passed and you go, oh, darn it, I forgot my check, or I don't have any cash, but I do want to give, you can just take out your mobile device and have a moment of worship, and you can just give right online with your mobile device. Now, again, I'm sharing that with you as it's just there are many ways that we can honor God. There's traditional ways that we have done it over the years, but in the culture we live in today, we can still take the new way that we live and we can honor God with it. So I did want to make you aware of that and encourage others, spread word about that. So just in close, and by the way, giving again of our abilities, Winston Churchill said a lot of things, but maybe this is one phrase, like one of the things he said that's real famous is, never give up. Never, never, never. I don't know, did I do that okay? I've never even worked on it. Just kind of in my mind, remember hearing that recording. But anyway, he said a lot of things, but here's something else Winston Churchill said. I'm not going to try to talk like him. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. I really like that. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. So beginning next week, next Sunday night, we're going to begin a spiritual gifts class here at Porterfield. I'll be teaching it. It will start at 6 p.m. for 1 hour, 6 to 7 p.m. If you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, there's still some room. There's probably about 10 seats or so left in the class. We're going to have to cut it off at 20 people. But if you're interested in attending that class, consider yourself invited. I'd especially like to, no matter what age, but especially those of you who are younger, help you to identify your spiritual gifts, so then you're going to know more what you're suited to do in the life of the church with the way that you volunteer and serve. So I'm excited about starting that class next Sunday evening. But in closing, the three principles of the seed. What is sown will be reaped, so don't fool yourself. Reaping is proportionate to sowing, so you got to be willing to let go and be generous, or you're not going to get anything in return. And then remember the continuous cycle of seeds. It really is an ongoing sacrificial process of living and dying and rebirth and growing. Jesus himself said, a grain of wheat, unless it first dies and enters into the ground, can't produce new life. But if that grain dies and goes into the ground, it will produce a harvest. He was using that principle of the seed to even talk about his own life, giving his life on the cross of Calvary for you and me. He said, I am willing to lay down my life, that grain of wheat, so to speak, and die, because I know from my death and my resurrection, much spiritual life for future generations is going to go on forever and ever. That's a beautiful example for you and I to think about. How can we live and give sacrificially of ourselves to see that not only those who are benefited around us now, but future generations? Would you stand? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity this morning to be reminded of these principles of the seed. And though in our part of the world right now, much of the harvest has already come with all the crops that were planted through the warm months in the summer. And so this time of year in the fall, we think about harvest time. And Lord, you did say that the fields are white unto harvest, so we need to be faithful in sharing your word and looking for ways to bring people into your family. And you pray that we'd have workers, that you would have workers for your field. But Lord, you've also taught us that it's a continuous cycle. So even though we think about harvesting, we need to be planting seed as we harvest. So thank you for this series of weeks where we've thought about living generously in many different ways. I pray that you'll use it to continue to inspire us and to think about the future and how you want us to live. Most of all, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't yet accepted your generosity, help them in this moment right now to just open their soul, their mind, their heart, their life to you, Lord Jesus. Invite you to come into their life. Help them, Lord, to ask for forgiveness. Because when we ask for forgiveness and we're willing to give forgiveness, you said we will receive it. And so thank you for that promise. So help us to let go of unforgiveness and doubt and fear and all those things, and help us to embrace your generosity through what you've done for us through Christ. And then as we have received Christ as our Savior, help us to honor you as Lord Jesus and be generous with the way that we give of ourselves and what we have for the work of your kingdom. So just minister through us and to us in this time, and we give you all the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.